This gave me occasion to observe that when men are employed, they are best contented, for on the days they worked, they were good-natured and cheerful, and with a consciousness of having done a good day's work, they spent the evening jollily. But on our idle days, they were mutinous and quarrelsome, finding fault with their pork, the bread, and in continual ill humor, which put me in mind of a sea captain whose rule it was to keep his men constantly at work, and when his mate once told him that they had done everything, there was nothing further to employ them about. "Oh," says he, "make them scour the anchor." This kind of fort, however contemptible, is a sufficient defense against Indians who have no cannon. Finding ourselves now posted securely and having a place to retreat to on occasion, we ventured out in parties to scour the adjacent country. We met with no Indians, but we found the places on the neighboring hills where they had lain to watch our proceedings. There was an art in their contrivance of those places, it seems, worth mention. It being winter, a fire was necessary for them, but a common fire on the surface of the ground would by its light have discovered their position at a distance. They had therefore dug holes in the ground about 3 feet in diameter and somewhat deeper. We saw where they had, with their hatchets, cut off the charcoal from the sides of burnt logs lying in the woods. With these coals, they had made small fires in the bottom of the holes, and we observed among the weeds and grass the prints of their bodies, made by their laying all around, with their legs hanging down in the holes to keep their feet warm, which, with them, was an essential point. This kind of fire, so managed, could not discover them, either by its light, flame, sparks, or even smoke. It appeared that their number was not great, and it seems they saw we were too many to be attacked by them with prospect of advantage. We had for our chaplain a zealous Presbyterian minister, Mr. Beatty, who complained to me that the men did not generally attend his prayers and exhortations. When they enlisted, they were promised, besides pay and provisions, a gill of rum a day, which was punctually served out to them, half in the morning, the other half in the evening, and I observed they were as punctual in attending to receive it, upon which I said to Mr. Beatty, "It is perhaps below the dignity of your profession to act as steward of the rum, but if you were to deal it out and only just after prayers, you would have them all about you." He liked the thought, undertook the office, and, with the help of a few hands to measure out the liquor, executed it to satisfaction. And never were prayers more generally or more punctually attended, so that I thought this method preferable to the punishment inflicted by some military laws for non-attendance on divine service. I had hardly finished this business and got my fort well stored with provisions when I received a letter from the governor acquainting me that he had called the assembly and wished my attendance there, if the posture of affairs on the frontiers were such that my remaining there was no longer necessary. My friends, too, of the assembly pressed me by their letters to be, if possible, at the meeting, and my three intended forts being now completed and the inhabitants contented to remain on their farms under that protection, I resolved to return. The more willingly, as a New England officer, Colonel Clapham, experienced in Indian War, being on a visit to our establishment, consented to accept the command. I gave him a commission, and, parading the garrison, had it read before them, and introduced him to them as an officer who, from his skill in military affairs, was much more fit to command them than myself, and, giving them a little exhortation, took my leave.